वराधारे यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभागिरिवराधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद ब्रह्म श्रीगाचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद श्रीवाइन गृह सभे चन्ना अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः रीडिङ्ग् फ्रम् श्रीमद् भागवतम् केण्टो 4 चाप्टर् 24 चाप्टर् एण्टैटल् चाण्टिङ्ग् द साङ्ग् सङ्ग् बै लार्ड् शिव टेक्स्ट् नम्बर् 38 नम ऊर्ज इषेत्रयाः पतये यज्ञरेतसे तृप्तिदाय च जीवानम् नमः सर्वरसात्मने नम ऊर्जैषेत्रययाः पतये यज्ञरेतसे तृप्तिदाय च जीवानम् नमः सर्वरसात्मने నమ ఊర్జై శేత్రయయః పతయే యజ్ఞరేతసే తృప్తిదాయ చ జీవానాం నమ సర్వరసాత్మనే. మాతజీస్ నమాజై శ్వేత్రయేతసే తృప్తిదాయ చ జీవానాం నమ సర్వరసాత్మన్. నమ, ఐ ఆఫర్ ఆల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ అంటు యు. ఊర్జే అంటు ద ప్రొవైడర్ ఆఫ్ ద పితృలోక. ఇషే ద ప్రొవైడర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్. త్రయయాహ ఆఫ్ ద త్రీ వేదస్. పతయే అంటు ద మాస్టర్. యజ్ఞ సాక్రిఫైసెస్. రేతసే అంటు ద ప్రిడామినేటింగ్ డీటీ ఆఫ్ ద మూన్ ప్లానెట్. తృప్తిదాయ అంటు హిమ్ హూ గివ్స్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్ టు ఎవ్రీవన్. చ ఆల్సో జీవానం ఆఫ్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్. నమ, ఐ ఆఫర్ మై ఒబేసెన్సెస్. సర్వరసాత్మనే అంటు ద ఆల్ పర్వేడింగ్ సూపర్ సోల్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిల ప్రభుపాద. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: మై లార్డ్, యు ఆర్ ద ప్రొవైడర్ ఆఫ్ ద పితృలోకస్ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ ఆల్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్. యు ఆర్ ద ప్రిడామినేటింగ్ డీటీ ఆఫ్ ద మూన్ అండ్ ద మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద త్రీ వేదస్. ఐ ఆఫర్ మై రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ అండ్ యూ బికాస్ యు ఆర్ ద ఒరిజినల్ సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్ ఫర్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్. పర్పోర్ట్: When the living entity is born within this material world, especially as a human being, he has several obligations unto the demigods, unto the saintly persons, and unto the living entities in general. As enjoined in the Shastras, Devarshi Bhutatma Nirnam Pitranam. Thus, one has an obligation to one's forefathers, the previous hierarchy. Lord Shiva prays to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so he can become free from all obligation to the Pitas, demigods, general living entities, and saintly persons, and completely engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. As stated, Devarshi Bhutatmana Pitranam Nakin Karonayam Rinicharajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihirtakartam Bhagavatam 11.541. One becomes free from all obligations to the demigods, sainty persons, pitas, ancient forefathers, etc. if one is completely engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Lord Shiva therefore prays to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so that he can become free from such obligations and entirely engage in the Lord's service. Soma, or the predominating deity of the moon, is responsible for the living entity's ability to relish the taste of food through the tongue. Lord Shiva prays to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so that he will not taste anything but the prasad of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a verse indicating that the tongue is the most formidable enemy among all the senses. If one can control the tongue, he can easily control the other senses. The tongue can be controlled only by eating prasad offered to the deity. Lord Shiva's prayer to Lord Aniruddha is meant for this purpose, Tripti Daya. He prays to Lord Aniruddha to help him be satisfied by eating only prasad offered to the Lord. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My Lord, you are the provider of the Pitrulokas as well as all the demigods. You are the predominating deity of the moon and the master of all the three Vedas. I offer my respectful obeisance unto you because you are the original source of satisfaction for all living entities. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this canto 4, chapter 24, text 38, wherein Lord Shiva is offering these prayers. And in this particular prayer, he is focusing, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, the focus is Lord Shiva is praying to Aniruddha so that he can become free from the obligations to so many personalities, like the Pitras, the Devatas, and so on and so forth. So Srila Prabhupada quotes this very famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Devarshi Bhutat Nirnam Pitranam Nakin Karo Nayam Rini Charajan. So this particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto explains how every human being is indebted to so many different people. You know, first to the demigods, you know, because they give us so many facilities, the sun, the wind, everything actually, the rain, you know, everything is controlled by the Devatas. And they're giving all these facilities to us, you know. So Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, how he has created this arrangement. Parasparam bhavayanta shreya paramavapsita. He says that you are supposed to worship the common people in general, in the Karmakanda system, you're supposed to worship the Devatas, and the Devatas, you know, offer all these things, you know. And Krishna also says that if one does not, yo bhungte stena yevasaha, ishtan devan hibo devan, Dasyanti Ignya Bhavita Tair Datta Yapradayabhyo Yobungte Stena Yevasaha. One who takes facilities from all these personalities but does not do anything in return, you know, is considered a thief. You know, because you're just taking something from someone, you know, but you're not offering anything back in return. So the devatas are one category of personalities who give us so much to the human society. The next category mentioned is the rishis, deva rishi. The rishis, because they have given the scriptures to us. You know, they have compiled, the rishis have compiled, you know, so many different scriptures over the period of yugas. So one is obliged to them for having given this knowledge. Deva rishi, then bhuta. Bhuta means various living entities. Everybody is indebted to various living entities. You know, right in the morning we see when we get up, you know, there is the sweet sound of the birds. You know, which is pleasing to everyone. Everybody likes to hear the nice sweet sound, the chirping of the birds. Similarly, there are living entities like trees which give us wonderful shade, which give us so many fruits and flowers. In this way, there are living entities like the cow, the horse, so many living entities, bhuta, which provide so much for the human society. Devarasi bhuta. Then apta, you know, our family members, they provide so much for us. You know, we've all been born in a particular family, and our family members, so many personalities in our family, they are all responsible in a way, or the you know, for our upbringing. The kind of personality that a person has in life, it's a lot because of, you know, family environment. You know, that environment which is provided at home in the childhood. Devarasi bhuta apta nirnam, human society. Everybody is indebted to the human society. Because human society in general provides so many things. For example, even in the modern human society, some mundane education, some so-called culture, tradition, values is given. Nirnam pitrinam, and most importantly the forefathers, our forefathers, because they are responsible for having given us this body and also preserved various traditions that have been coming down, you know, in the generations. So in this way, these 5-6 kinds of personalities are, everyone is indebted to each of them. And generally it is said, a grihastha especially, it's mandatory that he performs, he fulfills his debt to all these personalities. Like for example, for the demigods, he's supposed to perform various yagyas to please the demigods. The rishis are satisfied by doing swadhyaya. By studying the Vedic literature, one satisfies the rishis. Then the other bhutas and, you know, the trees, the cows, you know, we're supposed to serve all these living entities. So it's also true with the family members. And the pitris are supposed to be served by performing tarpana or oblations, you know, for the departed ancestors. So this is a culture actually in the Vedic system. Where every living entity is indebted to all these 5 kinds of personalities, and throughout his life, he has to pay back the rent. The, you know, what he has received from them. He has to pay back. And this is mandatory for everyone except a devotee of the Lord. Okay, so this is explained by Krishna himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam in 11th canto, chapter 20, text 9. Krishna explains to Uddhava where he says that as long as a person has not awakened himself to devotional service and as long as he has not begun the process of hearing and chanting, it's mandatory, you know, that he acts according to the regulative principles of the Vedas. That means he fulfills all these debts to all these kinds of personalities. He has to. You know, so this is actually a civilized human society where, you know, people actually fulfill their debt to all these people. Now the next top point is how come if one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then one need not, actually one is free from the debt. You know, that's what is being explained here. Sridharadha Raspihari Lalita Vishakha Devi ki jai, Gaurnita ki jai, Sridharam Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So, when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, when one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Lord Shiva is praying here to Aniruddha, then he is immediately free from the debt, you know, because he is watering the root of the tree. Yata taror moola nishechanena. He is watering the root of the tree. So, he need not trippyanti tatskanda bujopishaka. He need not bother about satisfying the twigs, the leaves, and, you know, each individual part of the tree. You know, because he's focusing on the root. So just like Acharya has given an example, suppose they say somebody is acting as a secretary to the king, to the emperor. You know, let us say there's an emperor and somebody is acting as a principal secretary of the emperor, then he has no obligations to various minor kings and, you know, zamindars and landlords and all that. He need not care about them. Because he is the principal secretary of the emperor. Okay, so by serving the emperor, automatically he need not serve any of these people. Okay. So similarly, when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he need not, you know, serve any of these personalities or try to, you know, spend time serving all of them individually. That's the point. And also another important thing is that ultimately all the gifts that are offered by all these categories of people is ultimately given by Krishna only. So Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Mayeva Hitan Hitan. He says that these different personalities, demigods and others, they are giving various things to everyone. But ultimately it is me only, you know, who is giving it, you know, through all these personalities. So that means Krishna, that means the demigods, you know, Krishna is the Paramatma in the heart of all of us. And he is also a Paramatma in the heart of the Devatas and the Pitras and so many people. So when a person tries to satisfy all these categories of people by performing Dana, Yajna, Tapa, Swadhyaya, etc. Okay, then Krishna as the Paramatma, he is the link between us and this personality. And in this way they receive, you know, whatever oblations or offerings you are making unto them. So in this way it is ultimately Krishna only who is giving all these gifts. Okay. The same is true with all categories of people. For example, even the forefathers. You know, when we say that the forefathers have maintained so many traditions and everything which has been coming down in families, ultimately it is Krishna only who is, you know, the Paramatma in the heart of the forefathers. And Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. He has only given these people remembrance, knowledge, that what you should preserve, what you should not, etc. And they have preserved all these things by Krishna's mercy. So hence, a devotee, when he serves Krishna, then he is free from the debt to all these people. He need not serve any of these people. On the other hand, we could also state that those who are not surrendering unto Krishna, you know, those who are trying to individually satisfy these people, they actually are self-interested only. They are really not satisfying anybody. You know, just like we see the demigod worshippers. You know, those who try to satisfy the devatas by doing various things, actually they are interested in their own welfare only. They are interested in, you know, obtaining various gifts from them. Or we see even in modern society, there are the environmentalists, you know, who try to individually satisfy the various plants or the various bhutas. They want to preserve wildlife, this, that. But again, if you see, they are primarily interested in their sense gratification. And actually they don't serve these personalities properly as well. Many times we see there are many people who claim to be environmentalists, etc., but then they eat, you know, all kinds of animals and all that in their food. So they are not truly compassionate to all living entities. Okay. So in this way we see that people who try to individually satisfy these personalities are actually worshipping their own senses. They are not truly interested in worshipping anyone. On the other hand, a devotee, you know, we see by serving Krishna, he automatically, you know, satisfies all these personalities. Just like, for example, it is said, when devotees raise their hands and they chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is said that all the inauspiciousness of the heavenly planets are dispelled. You know, the various inauspiciousness. So in this way, a devotee is satisfying the demigods. Then the devotee satisfies other living entities as well, like the birds and the plants, etc. Okay, just like we see this in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur, where Lord Chaitanya is asking Haridas Thakur that how in this age of Kali, there are so many Yavanas who are addicted to, you know, killing the Go Brahmana, the culture of protecting the cows and the Brahmanas. How will these people be delivered? So Haridas Thakur answers that question by saying that, you know, just by chanting your holy name, you know, even in Sankhit, you know, indirectly, you know, Haridas Thakur gives the example of saying that how sometimes Yavanas, you know, they use the word haram. So in that word, there is Ram. Okay. And in this way, they indirectly address the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, they will all be delivered. And Lord Chaitanya is satisfied with that reply. And then Lord Chaitanya asks Haridas Thakur, my dear Haridas, what about the other living entities? Like the trees, the immovable living entities, you know, the bhuta. So many living entities are there. Animals, birds, the trees and the plants and everyone. So Haridas Thakur replies to that when we chant the holy name loudly, when we chant the holy name of Krishna loudly, at that time he says that it appears as if there is an echo. You know, initially it appears to everyone as if there is an echo that's coming. But he says, oh my dear Lord, actually it is not the echo, It is not an echo, but actually it is the chanting of the immovable living entities. And he says, it is the, you know, they are responding back. Because this is a fact actually. So, when we chant the holy name loudly, then all living entities around are benefited. So, in this way, a devotee actually serves all these personalities. He serves them very nicely. Or for example, so in this way, a devotee, you know, by surrendering unto Krishna, he perfectly satisfies all these people without bothering much about, the karmakande formalities of, satisfying each of these personalities. You know, we also see this in the case of Advaita Acharya. We are talking about Pitris here. How, you know, traditionally in the Smartha or in the Brahminical tradition in India, it's mandatory for every householder to perform, you know, some tarpan for the forefathers on every Amavasya and also on the Tithi of the departure of the ancestors. So we see Sri Advaita Acharya, he was doing this as a social custom. But at the same time, he was aware that the most important thing is, you know, the devotees have to be served. So when Haridas Thakur, at one point of time, when he was in Shantipur, Advaita Acharya, he offered Haridas Thakur the Shraddha Patra, you know, the first remnants, the plate after the Shraddha. And this was something very revolutionary, we can just imagine. In those times, 500 years ago, even today, it would not be accepted by the, you know, traditional Brahmanas, etc. You know, they insist that this is how it should be done. But Advaita Acharya, he offered it to Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur was also surprised seeing that he is being offered. He said that I am a Yavana. So, Advaita Acharya replied, by feeding you, I am feeding 1 crore Brahmanas. Okay, so the devotees know this principle. So that means, even if the devotees sometimes they have to abide by some social custom where they have to, you know, do some tarpan or something like that, then they do it, you know, in a perfectly Krishna conscious way without bothering about, you know, various mundane smartha traditions. Because the devotees accept this fact that by serving and satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everybody is satisfied. And what better way is to satisfy the Pitris than by, you know, feeding a personality like Haridas Thakur, you know, Namacharya. So the devotees know this principle. So this is the principle of surrender, which is there. You know, a devotee actually understands this principle. So we see that, you know, just like Gopal Bhatta Goswami in our Sampradaya, he has compiled a book called Satkriya Saradipika, where he has specified how householders, you know, in the lineage of Srila Rupa Goswami, how they should actually perform various traditions, you know, whether it is marriage or any of these various, family-related affairs, when a grihastha has to do, how he should do. Because generally in the Karmakanda system, people do all these rituals by worshipping the demigods, the pitras, etc., etc. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami has explained how one should do these by worshipping the devotees of the Lord and the Mahabhagavatas and our acharyas, the previous acharyas. And in this way, we can accomplish, you know, various rituals, you know, in a very perfectly Krishna conscious way. And we see that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he, in his preaching in Gaudiya Math, he would always be very happy to see if the householder devotees, they did their various rituals in the line of, you know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Satkriya Saradipika, rather than doing it in the Karmakandi way by worshipping demigods, etc. He would actually, this is mentioned by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj in his book, that whenever any householder would do a marriage or a Shraddha or any of these functions, you know, in the Krishna conscious way, rather than in the Karmakandi way, you know, by worshipping Devadas, etc., then Saraswati Thakur would be very pleased. And sometimes he would even report this in his magazines, etc., you know, the Harmonist and others, that in this way we are doing this activity. Okay, so this basically, this indicates faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because generally we see that ordinary people, they have a lot of faith on all these people, the demigods, you know, the forefathers, family members. People feel very secure in the midst of all these people, you know. And if you tell them that you just worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees and you will be perfectly well situated and happy, they find very difficult to put faith in this principle. You know, ordinary people, they find it very difficult. So for devotees, by doing our activities in this way, we actually show our faith. On the other hand, Sometimes we see also devotees when they are in trouble, especially grihasthas, when they are in trouble, sometimes they feel that they should look at their astrology, they should, you know, wear various rings on their hands, they should, you know, try to find out. And many times what happens is when they do these things, they get caught up. Just like, for example, recently I was speaking to a friend. He's a nice devotee, but he had gone to an astrologer because something was going wrong in his life. So the astrologer, he saw all his astrology and his pitra, his chart and the various influences. And then he told him that, you know, you should worship this one Shani Devata. Only then this influence is going to go. And then he was in a dilemma, you know, what to do. You know, I'm an initiated devotee. You know, how can I worship, you know, the Shani? So in this way it happens. So that means what happens is we get stuck in a particular situation where you enter this particular field and then, you have to do something where, you know, your faith in Krishna automatically gets questioned. Because if one has to go to a demigod or the forefather or somebody to do some type of sacrifice or some kind of, penance or austerity or something, then it is basically an exhibition of less faith in Krishna. You know, we are not confident, you know, that just by surrendering to Krishna. So that's why that beautiful definition of Shraddha, faith is there. Shraddha shabda vishwasa kahe sudrida nischay Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. Isn't it? So what is faith? Shraddha means the exhibition that simply by performing Krishna conscious activities, everything is accomplished. There is no need to do any other thing separately. You know, this is actually a definition of faith. So, especially for householders, this is a very important thing. It sometimes going to all these personalities is basically showing Krishna that I do not completely, you know, have trust that if I just surrender with my hands up to you, I will be protected. I feel that I need to do all these things. So, this is a basic problem. And this is why it is important that a devotee comes to this particular stage of surrendering to Krishna, leaving aside his debts to all these people. This is one reason, you know, faith. Another reason is why one should surrender to Krishna and not bother about all these debts is because fulfilling all these debts to these personalities like devatas, rishis, pitras, etc. It's a very time-consuming process. It's a very time-consuming process. Actually, if you see the traditional karmakanda system, one has to do so many oblations and so many sacrifices and this and that. And this is actually for a devotee who wants to serve Krishna, if he has to spend time, this is no time actually. This is actually echoed in this beautiful verse by Srila Madhavendra Puri. In a very famous verse where he says, Sandhya Vandana Badramastu Bhavato Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo Bodeva Pitarascha Tarpana Vidau Naham Kshama Kshamyatam Yatra Kvapi Nishadaya Davakulo Tamasya Kamsadvisha Smaram Smaram Agam Haramitadalam Anye Kimanye Namem. It's a very beautiful verse by Madhavendra Puri, where he says, Sandhya Vandanam. Sandhya Vandanam means traditionally the Brahmanas are supposed to do Sandhya Vandanam, oblations, you know, at the morning, the afternoon, and the evening Sandhya. It takes almost 20 minutes if you actually have to do it very nicely. Badra Mastu Bhavato, he says. Badra means all glories to you. Bosnana Tubhyam Namo. One is supposed to take bath in various places at various times, etc. Bosnana Tubhyam Namo. He's offering respects to all of them, saying that all of you are very nice, but unfortunately I don't have time, he says. Bodeva Pitarascha Tarpana Vidau. I'm supposed to do various oblations to demigods, various tarpans to my forefathers. Naham Kshama Kshamyatam. I'm very sorry, I'm unable to do all this. Why? Yatra Kvapi Nishad Yadavakulo Tamasya Kamsadvishaha. This Kamsadvisha. Kamsadvisha means the enemy of Kamsa. That's Krishna. You know? I am engaged in remembering Krishna and I think this is sufficient for me, you know, to cleanse me of everything. You know, I need not, you know, do all these things. Yeah? So, beautiful verse by Madhavendra Puri, where he echoes the sentiment, you know, that a devotee is very busy thinking of Krishna, so he does not have time to do so many of these things which are there. So, the second thing, so first point I said was faith. That means if somebody engages in worshipping all these people, then we are showing our lack of faith or reduced faith in Krishna. The second thing we said was time. And the third thing is, sometimes, you know, in our efforts to please all these people, we will enter into a conflict with, serving Krishna. You know, we can give some examples. Just like we see people like Vibhishan. You know, he was very obedient initially to his elder brother Ravan. He was, He was staying with him and he was giving him good advice. Though he was a devotee always, and he knew that this brother of mine is a pakka demon, you know, he knew that. But still, you know, he was respectful and everything. But at one point of time when he knew, you know, when, you know, Ravan had kidnapped Sita and was refusing to give her back, despite of his good counsel, he said, goodbye, I'm sorry, I cannot. You know, so sometimes our service to various of these people will come in direct conflict with our service to Krishna. Or we see the example even of Yajna Patnis. You know, their husbands were great rishis who were doing various austerity, various yajnas and all that. The Brahmana Patnis, the Dvija Patnis. So they wanted to give their foodstuff to Krishna. You know, Krishna and Balram were asking through cowherd boys they had sent, please, we are hungry, give us some food. You know, but these Brahmanas, they were saying, no, 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 we have to do various things, you know, we don't have time for all this. Why to give this Krishna and Balram? Who are they? But these ladies, they knew. And they just left everything and they went with all their offerings to Krishna. So in this way we see various examples, you know, where devotees, sometimes their service to this category of people, whether it is demigods or whatever, like we see even in Govardhan Leela, you know, the Vrajavasis were worshipping Indra, you know, but there was a conflict over there. So by worshipping all these people, sometimes a devotee enters, you know, there is a direct conflict with our worshipping Krishna, you know, for some reason, there is a problem. These people cause an impediment. At that time, a devotee, you know, he just drops this service to these personalities and just surrenders to Krishna. Just surrenders to Krishna. At this point, you know, so till now we have been speaking about this particular verse, Devarshi Bhutata Ninam Pitrinam. How a devotee, when he surrenders to Krishna, is free from these obligations. But at the same time, we need to remember that a devotee is very respectful to everyone. You know, that's also a nature of a devotee. Very respectful. A devotee actually offers respects to every living entity, even an ant. Then what to speak of our forefathers or the demigods or these personalities. So that means, as far as possible, whenever, you know, we don't have any conflict with our worship of Krishna, etc., or our faith, a devotee, you know, serves these people very nicely. Like, best example to give is Maharaj Ambarish. So there was Durvasa Muni, he was a great rishi, he was an atithi, everything, he came to his house. You know, and Ambarish Maharaj, he was a pure devotee, but still, you know, of course he had to drink little water to break his fast. But after that, when the Sudarshan Chakra came and was chasing Durvas for an entire year, throughout Brahmaloka, Shivaloka, Vaikuntha, everything, Ambarish was fasting. He was fasting, waiting. Because the etiquette was there, you know, that an atithi has come, a great rishi has come, you know, he could have said, you know, I have surrendered to Krishna, you know, I am not indebted to all these people. You know, why should I bother? Anyway, you know, it has been proved that I am superior to him because Sudarshan came to chase him, not me, you know. But no, Maharaj Ambarish, the principle is that, you know, a devotee by nature is always very respectful and he tries to serve every living entity nicely. You know, so that principle is also there. Why this is important? Because many times we see that, you know, in our neophyte devotional service, when we come newly, especially to Krishna consciousness, when we hear all these things, you know, at least I have by personal experience also, how sometimes we go back home, you know, and we talk to our parents, our elders, as if now we are not indebted to all these people. Sometimes, you know, we do that. You know, we see this sometimes. You know, a new devotee, he feels that, you know, oh, now I already surrendered to Krishna. You know, I really need not bother about all these people. You know, and then later, you know, the whole preaching, everything is hampered. And after many, many years, we realize our mistake. We feel that, no, I should have dealt with these people very respectfully and nicely. So this is another important principle. You know, so though we say that a devotee, you know, need not serve any of these people because he's not indebted to them, what it means is, you know, we don't have the time to do all these elaborate rituals and everything, you know, to serve these people. And neither are we interested in the fruits obtained by worshipping the demigods, you know, by going to the heavenly planet or worshipping the Pitras, going to Pitraloka. We are not interested in all these fruits. So a devotee is not going to do that. But at the same time, a devotee being very respectful, you know, as far as his capacity allows him, he always is eager to render service to any living entity. What to speak of these people, you know, who have all given him so much in his life. Whether it is the demigods, the sages, the bhutas, the living entities, they have all given so much to us. So in this way, a devotee is actually the best well-wisher and the best servant of all. You know, he actually serves all these people in the best possible way. He serves them spiritually, you know, he serves them, you know, with his resources, energy, in every possible way he serves them very nicely. Now, another question may be raised here. What if a devotee, after he becomes a devotee, later he gives up the path? Then, wouldn't the previous debt hold true now? You know, that means, after becoming a devotee, a person gives up, you know, worshipping the devatas, pitras and all this. But suppose if he falls down, then what happens? Then does it mean that now he is actually indebted, he goes back into the debt? You know. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam answers this. In fact, in the 11th canto, chapter 5, text 41, where this particular verse appears, Devarshi Bhutatpa, the immediate next verse clarifies this. Sobhada Moolam Bhajata Priyasya. So, in that particular verse, Krishna is instructing Uddhava by saying that a devotee, even if he falls down, Vikarma Yachot Patitam Katanchit, after he becomes a devotee, he is not indebted to these people. But suppose by chance he engages in sinful activity and he falls down, still, Dunoti Sarvam Riddhi Sannivishtaha, Krishna says. Because of his Krishna consciousness, if he works towards reinstating himself back again, you know, that process cleanses his heart. He need not bother thinking that, oh, now I have to, since I've fallen down, I have to serve all these people again. No. You know, he just has to strive, you know, to be Krishna conscious, even if he has fallen down. Because that, the process itself will cleanse him. He need not bother about any other thing. At this point, we would also like to say that, this particular verse, like, you know, this verse and this particular section that we are discussing, this was also very relevant in times in India when people actually felt, or they would actually do all these, you know, sacrifices, swadhyaya, tapa, etc. to satisfy these people. But in the modern civilization, we see that nobody is interested to serve anyone. You know, that means, you know, people are not interested to, even those who are not devotees, it is not that they are interested in serving the demigods or the pitras, everything. This was there some years ago or many generations ago in India. By tradition, people were doing these things. But nowadays, people don't want to do anything. Everybody wants to simply enjoy sense gratification. This is the basic mood, you know. So, Gaurang Prabhu from Chopati, once he had come to Pune, so he was telling in a lecture, he was saying that when he went to the West recently, he said when Prabhupada went to the West, he said there was, you know, Buddhism. You know, there was at least some philosophy. People were talking, some Shunyavad, etc. But he's saying, nowadays, if you go all over the world, you will see only Buddhism. So, Buddhism means, Buddha means, you know, fool. So, that means, you know, people are only interested in enjoying. Everybody is thinking, how I will enjoy myself. No philosophy, nothing, don't tell me anything. You know, everybody wants to enjoy sense gratification, you know, unlimitedly, in his own style. You know, without, you know, bothering about all these things at all. So, this is the civilization today. So, especially in the modern civilization, to preach to people this type of a verse. So, first we'll have to tell them that, my dear person, you're a human being. So, you're indebted to all these people. And traditionally, people would do all this. You're not doing that nowadays, but traditionally, people would do. But still, now you come and surrender to Krishna, everything will be taken care of. You know, in this way, we can, speak to people about this particular point. Another thing that is mentioned in the purport by Srila Prabhupada is how Soma, you know, gives taste to food. You know, Soma gives taste to food. So Shiva is praying to Aniruddha to give him strength so that he will not taste anything but the prasad of the Lord. So this fact, in a way, it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. You see, Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, text number 13, 15.13, Krishna says, Gama vishyachi bhutani dharayami aham ojasa. Pushnami Aushadim Sarva Soma Bhutva Rasat Makaha. So in the second part of that verse, Krishna says, Pushnam, I enter into all the vegetables, you know, via the moon rays and give taste. You know, that means all vegetables, like whenever we taste any vegetable, you know, whether it is potato, karela, whatever vegetable we taste, you know, there is a particular succulent, there is a juice, a rasa in it. And that rasa has come from where? It has come by the agency of the moon, the form of the moonshine. That's what Krishna is explaining. Pushnami Aushadi Sarva Soma Bhutva Rasatmakaha. You know, and ultimately Krishna is responsible for that. Krishna is saying that though from the moonshine only all these vegetables are getting the juice and the rasa, it is ultimately me, you know, who through this moonshine is giving all this taste into vegetables. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in so many ways he says how we can be Krishna conscious all the time. Even if you eat vegetable, the juice that is there in it, you know, the taste of food, you know, that's coming from the moon, but ultimately it's coming from Krishna. Actually, this fact is elaborately explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto as well as third canto. If you see the, you know, the model of creation, which is explained, we see the second and third canto, it explains how when the Virat Purusha is manifested, from each part of the body of Virat Purusha, you know, three things come about. The sense, the external sense, like for example, from the eyes of the Virat Purusha, you know, the eyes, you know, all of us, we have got our eyes. It's basically from the eye of the Virat Purusha. The internal sense, that means the vision which is there. And also the demigod, like for example, for the eyes, it is sun. So the demigod, you know, who is in charge of this faculty. So everything is created together because these are all dependent factors. Krishna is the only personality who is independent. You know, Ishvara, Paramapurusha, is totally independent, Swarat. But everybody else is dependent. You know, so we have senses which we have got from ultimately from the Supreme Personality of God only, you know, through His manifestation as the universal form. And the demigod in charge of this faculty has also come from that. Okay, so all these things are created from that. So in this way, every sense of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from that only everything comes. For example, you know, from the nose, you know, the Ashwini Kumaras, and the external nose. So that means the Bhagavatam, very interesting, it makes a distinction between an external sense and the internal subtle sense. You know, the external sense, that means for example, there is a hand. This is the external sense, you know, karmendriya, hand. But then there is an internal subtle sense of grasping, you know, which is there. So this is beautifully explained by Dhrutakarma Prabhu, one of his books, where he writes that, he says that, for example, he says, there is an internal subtle sense of grasping also. So he proves it. He says, just like in modern world, there is a phenomenon of phantom limbs. Phantom limbs means, he says, somebody's hand is cut, let us say, due to some accident. Even though his gross hand is cut, he feels a grasping or an itching sensation. You know, he feels that. He feels a hand is missing. Like for example, none of us feel, right, we are missing two hands. You know, we are supposed to be Chaturbhuja and, you know, two hands. We are not feeling anything like that. But if somebody did not have one hand, he will feel a missing hand. He will feel that I want to catch something. Something in my body is saying that, you know, I want to grasp, I want to itch, but it is missing. Okay. So, this is observed, but of course our modern scientists, they don't have any answer to all this. But through the Bhagavatam, everything is answered very nicely. Okay. So, there is an external sense of hand, and there is an internal subtle sense of grasping, and then there is a demigod Indra, who for example is in charge of the hands. Okay. And all these are dependent factors. Parasparam bhavayanta shreya paramavapsita. Krishna is saying in the Gita. Parasparam. You are dependent on them, they are also dependent on you. If you do sacrifices for them, they will also prosper. And by doing sacrifices and austerities and tapasya for them, they will grant benedictions to you, you will also be happy. This is a general karma kanda system which is there. So in this way, all our senses, you know, so what we see here is, you know, from this Bhagavatam, from the model of creation is, that everything has come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, our senses, our internal senses, our ability to relish food, like we are seeing here, everything has come, you know, from that. And not only everything has come, from this model of Bhagavatam, we also understand how to live perfectly in harmony with, you know, nature and how to cure our problems also. Like, since we are talking about this topic, like in the second and third canto, it mentions how from the Lord's veins, the rivers come. And from the Lord's abdomen, hunger and thirst manifest and the oceans are created. So there Prabhupada explains, according to Ayurveda and according to, you know, such ways of treatment, if somebody has experiencing less hunger or thirst, or is experiencing some abdominal problem, he is supposed to take bath in the ocean. Because the ocean basically represents the abdomen of the Supreme Personality of God. So this is a single body and that's a cosmic body. So if you have any problem, you jump into it. If you have a problem in the vein, you jump in the river. Seriously, Prabhupada explains actually, if you have a problem in the veins, Ayurvedic treatment is take bath in the river, flowing river. If you continuously take bath there, then you become well. So it's a very beautiful system actually, you know. So in this way, this knowledge is not just some theory, it also helps people live their lives, you know, very nicely. Yeah? But in the modern day we see, since we have given up, yeah, since common people, we have given up, you know, listening to the scriptures, we see that, you know, people are trying so many artificial ways to cure and satisfy themselves. You know, and we are not living a life, you know, in harmony with God. That's what we see here. Another interesting thing that Prabhupada mentions towards the end of the purport is about prasadam. He says that how Shiva is praying here that he will taste only prasadam. So this is a devotee's, you know, vow. A devotee's commitment. you know, that I read only Krishna Prasad, you know, and this is very, very appreciated. And also, I respect Prasad like anything. The best example of this, I felt, is in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya with Sarvam Bhattacharya, where Lord Chaitanya, you know, when he converts Sarvam Bhattacharya from an impersonalist to a Vaishnava, a few days after that, the next day or something, Lord Chaitanya, he goes very early in the morning to the Jagannath Puri temple. And the pujari gives him, like, at Brahma Murtha time. And the pujari gives him some Maha Prasad and some garlands of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya, immediately he takes this. And he comes to the house of Sarvam Bhattacharya. This is before sunrise. And it is at that time Sarvam Bhattacharya was sleeping. And when Lord Chaitanya knocked, Sarvam Bhattacharya woke up from the bed and he woke up chanting Krishna, Krishna. So hearing this, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased that the Sarvam Bhattacharya, you know, he was such an impersonalist. You know, he gets up in the morning and he's chanting Krishna, Krishna. So nice. And then Sarvam Bhattacharya came, he opened the door, he invited the Lord, he offered a carpet, he made him sit. And then immediately Lord Chaitanya gave him the prasadam, the packed prasadam, the Mahaprasadam of Lord Jagannath. And Sarvam Bhattacharya, to a great surprise of many people, immediately started honoring it. Now this is something very, very unconventional. Of course, nowadays if you tell this to somebody, a person will feel, what is the problem? I eat any time. No, but we are talking here about an extremely cultured and an extremely sophisticated Brahmana, like Sarvam Bhattacharya. You know, such Brahmins, they first, when they get up in the morning, they have to, you know, cleanse themselves, take a bath, they have to do Sandhya Vandana, they have to do all these things. And then only they will think of eating something. Otherwise, they will not eat anything. And this was the standard Sarvam Bhattacharya was following all his life, to tell you. And it is only when he became a devotee, a few days after that, when Lord Chaitanya came with the prasad, immediately ate it up. And then Sarvam Bhattacharya, he quoted two verses from the Padma Puran. He quoted two verses where he said that one should eat Mahaprasad of the Lord immediately upon receiving it. Whether it is stale, whether it is decomposed, whether it is coming from a very far away place, one should not have any such considerations. There should be no hesitation in accepting it, and there are no regulative principles in accepting Mahaprasadam. So he said this actually. Sarvam Bhattacharya quoted these two verses. And Lord Chaitanya was very happy to hear this. So here again we see how, you know, we discussed two, three points mainly in the purport today. One thing is initially we saw that one has to give up, you know, worship of Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Apta and all and surrender to Krishna. And then we are seeing how the taste of prasad is ultimately Krishna, you know, through the moon. And ultimately how a devotee, you know, should eat only prasad. So in this pastime we see how Sarvam Bhattacharya, he gave up his regulative principles of a Brahmana, you know, which is to do various bath and ablutions and sandhya in the morning, and immediately accepted the prasadam. So this is again, you know, confirming what we have been just speaking. Yeah? How when a devotee surrenders to Krishna, he is not indebted and he may not follow, you know, various smart rules and regulations. He actually transcends that. And that's what Sarvam Bhattacharya exhibited, you know, which was so much appreciated, you know, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, so this is basically a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, we would like to conclude by a small pastime, where in that pastime we see how ultimately everything is given by Krishna only. You know, all fruits, all benedictions are given by Krishna, because that's what we are ultimately speaking of here. So this is written by Lochandas Thakur in his Chaitanya Mangal, where he describes how once upon a time there was a Brahman, you know, in South India, whose name was Ramadas. So this Brahman. So the Brahman was very poor. He didn't have any money. So he came to Jagannath Puri. He came to Jagannath Puri thinking that, you know, I'll come to Jagannath Puri and petition the Lord to give me money. So he came to Jagannath Puri, he was praying actually to the Supreme Lord that, you know, please give me wealth, you know. And if you don't give me, then I'll die. So, you know, he was making such a vow. So it is said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was with his devotees and he felt very sad to hear the prayer of this Brahman in the temple. He is a super soul. He felt. So anyway, 7 days passed, this Brahman got nothing. So he decided to commit suicide. So he went into the ocean. He started walking in the ocean. As he was walking in the ocean in the opposite direction, he saw a very tall and gigantic personality coming from the other side of the ocean, walking on the ocean. As that personality came to the shore, he became small in height and he became normal height. So he thought that maybe this is Krishna only, you know, who can walk on the ocean like this. And he started running behind this person. This person was dressed like a Brahman, the fellow who came from the ocean. Started running behind him. He said, oh Lord, you know, that Brahman, he said that, you know, I'm not Lord or something. He said, I'm Vibhishan. He said, I'm Vibhishan. I have come in the guise of a Brahmana in order to have the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, we see Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, they explain that when Lord Chaitanya manifested his pastimes, various demigods and great personalities from all over the universe would come time to time, disguised in human forms, to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya. So, this was Vibhishan. Vibhishan had come. So he told this Brahman. So Vibhishan asked him, what are you doing? So that Ramadas told him his own story. He said, I am very poor, I don't have money, I have come here to commit suicide. So Vibhishan said, no, don't commit suicide, just come with me. He took him. And then Vibhishan took him to Tota Gopinath, the place of Gadadhar Pandit, where Lord Chaitanya was sitting with all his devotees. So suddenly Lord Chaitanya, he told Govinda, his servant, that go to the door, there is one Brahman, bring him in. So Govinda goes and he brings this Vibhishan, who is dressed as a Brahman. And Vibhishan comes in. And immediately when he comes in, he embraces Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya embraces him. Both of them cry tears of love. And you know, they have so many loving exchanges. Everybody is kind of wondering what's happened. Who's this new person who suddenly came in, you know. Nobody is aware of what. Then they talk for a very long time. They have a loving exchange. And then Lord Chaitanya finally, he tells Vibhishan that this Brahman, you know, he's standing outside. I don't like such people, he said. You know, they come because of their own karma, they suffer, you know, and when they don't get anything, they come and blame the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't like such people. Anyway, you do one thing, give him some money and send him off. You know, give him some money and send him off. You know, I don't want him to come and do suicide. Vibhishan says, no problem, I'll take care of it. Then he goes out. And then he takes his Brahman out, and Vibhishan gives that Ramadas. He tells him, don't worry, I will give you money. You go back to South India and live. Okay? Then meanwhile, that Ramadas, he's asking a question to Vibhishan. He's saying, my dear Vibhishan, saying, why didn't you take darshan of Lord Jagannath? He said, you came all the way from somewhere and you just met the sannyasi and you are going back. Why don't you take darshan of Jagannath? So Vibhishan answers, saying that, oh foolish Brahmana, since how long you are going to be a fool like this? When will you understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come in the form of Lord Chaitanya? And he explains to him, who is the Tattva of Chaitanya? Now, who is Chaitanya Tattva? He explains. Then this Brahman, he immediately falls at the feet of Vibhishan and he says, please, you know, take me once again to that sannyasi. I want to fall at his feet. You know, he's the Supreme Personality of God. So then he again comes back. They both come back to Tota Gopinath. Then Mahaprabhu is asking what happened. So then Vibhishan explains that this Brahman, he wanted to surrender unto you. So he falls at his feet and offers prayers. Then Mahaprabhu tells him that, my dear Brahman, whenever you suffer anything in life, you should not blame the Supreme Personality for it. I don't like such people. So we learn a very important lesson here. No, that Krishna does not like, you know, when we suffer because of our own past and we come and blame God for it. This is generally what everybody does in the world, you know. Whenever they have any problem in their life, they say, upar wale ne sab kuch kiya hai, you know, they feel. But whenever they have done something nice, they raise their collar. Krishna does not like this mentality. We see here, Lord Chaitanya, he tells the Brahman, I don't like this. Meanwhile, all the other devotees, they are wondering, what is all this? So they are asking the Lord, you know, could you please explain, who are these two Brahmins? And then Lord Chaitanya, he explains everything and he explains the whole story. What had happened, how they had come. And everybody is very happy and they chant Hari Bol. And then both of them leave, Vibhishan and that Brahman. So in this pastime we see this particular point that how, you know, not only we should not surrender, we need not serve any of these personalities, Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Apta and all that. Also when we come to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to come and we have to desire to serve the Supreme Personality out of pure love. If you come to Krishna asking for various facilities, Krishna does not like that. And that's what we see here. This Brahman, he did not go to a demigod or the Pitru or somebody. He came to Jagannath only. But still he came to Jagannath for money, threatening. So this attitude is not liked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So ultimately, we are all expected to surrender unto Krishna, you know, in the mood and in the way that our acharyas have taught us. You know, in our sampradaya, you know, without anya vilashita shunyam, you know, without any other desires, motivations, jnana karma, all these other things, anavritam, anukulyena Krishna, only favorable devotional service. So this is bhakti ruttama. And this is something a neophyte can also strive to be situated on this platform. And if we try that, then that is our success. Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. We just have maybe 2 questions, 2 minutes. So is there any one question or a comment anybody would like to say? Yep. Just one question we'll take.
Hare Krishna. Toji, you mentioned in between that there is a verse next to this Devarshi verse.
Yeah.
And which says that in the process of reinstating himself, the person who has fallen down, so that process of reinstatement purifies him.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that during the period when he is not again trying to reinstate himself into the process, during that period if he is like not following anything, so all those things will trouble him more and more and he will go down more and more. So what thing will actually inspire him to come back? And secondly, how will these things be taken care?
Yeah. One thing is, the Bhagavad Marg which is there, Srimad Bhagavatam, it totally rejects all other processes. Dharma Projita Kaitava. All this Kaitava Dharma process is rejected right in the beginning. So even for a fallen devotee, the Bhagavat offers only a Bhagavat solution. Surrender to Krishna. It does not offer any material solution. Oh, now you left. Go back to worship the devatas. Though, if you see that verse is this. Svapada Moolam Bhajata Priyasya Tyaktvanya Bhavasya Hari Paresha Vikarma Yachod Patitam Katanchi Dhunoti Sarvam Hridi Sannivishta. This is the verse. After this, Devarshi verse. This was what it is saying. A person becomes a devotee and Vikarma means he does some sinful act. And Patitam, he falls down. What he is supposed to do? He is supposed to just try to reinstate himself back. And Dhunoti Sarvam, he is cleansed inside. You know, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how will he come back? This Narada Muni explains in the first canto, fifth chapter, if you see. He explains that the taste of devotional service is such, you know, that even if a person leaves it, he will not be able to enjoy anything else. You know, he will have to come back. You know, he will be forced to come back. Because actually, you know, the taste of material life, you know, actually nobody is enjoying. But it is just that everybody have convinced themselves that we are enjoying this. But a devotee, after having tasted Krishna and Krishna consciousness, it is actually very difficult. So even if he falls down, the taste of Krishna will remind him. We see this actually. In our movement also we have seen. You know, in our past we have seen this. You know, those who left and went for some reason, you know, many of them they come back actually. Most of them will come back. Because the taste which is there of Krishna, it pulls them back. How are they going to, you know, enjoy, relish? So this is what is explained in the Bhagavad. So the taste will be the, you know, the hook that will bring the devotee back. And when the devotee comes back, Krishna will take him back also. You know, Krishna is that master. As Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, you know, the Danya Se Prabhu, that master is Danya who will catch the shika of this misguided person and bring him back, you know, to his lotus feet. You know, so this is the Bhagavad does not give any other solution. The Bhagavad gives only Bhagavad solutions because that is the ultimate solution. What is the use of saying that, you know, if you give up, then go back and do all this? That is not the Bhagavad solution. The Bhagavad solution is a permanent solution to your problems. Reinstate you back at Krishna's lotus feet.
Sir? Thank you very much. Yeah. One small question more. You mentioned that verse by Madhavendra Puri.
Yeah.
When he says that, I don't have time for all these extra things. So, this is a small thing. That he says, he addresses the Lord as Kamsodisha. I was thinking that he is a devotee of Gopinath or Gopal, and normally devotees address Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Nandan. So what is the special significance of him addressing, and that too is not a devotee of Vishnu. Kamsodisha is Vishnu. So in that sense, and then why is he addressing, or is any special significance of that?
I am really not aware. It would be very difficult to put ourselves in the shoes of Madhavendra Puri and imagine why he wrote such a verse with Kamsodisha. Anybody would like to say anything to that? Why is this Kamsa Dvisha over there? Enemy of Kamsa. You know, many times we see that devotees address the Lord like Bhagavad Gita also we see. Arjuna addresses Arisudana, Madhusudana, etc. You know, as the killer of various demons. You know, so I don't know whether there's any significance.
In Gita, still many places Arjuna is in the mood that, okay, please kill my doubt. Do this.
Correct.
Then he's addressing. But here he is in the topmost mood and.
గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి శిల ప్రభుపాద కి నిదాయ గౌర ప్రేమానంద హరి హరి బాబు.